Well, unless you've been on a total news fast, you know that Grand Marais has just won Budget Travel's 10th annual America's Coolest Small Town Contest. And of course, we're all delighted here. And joining us now on the phone to tell us all about it is Robert Firpo Capiello. He is the editor-in-chief of Budget Travel. Welcome, Robert.
Great to be here, Ann.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, you have been holding this contest for 10 years. Why did Budget Travel start this?
You know, Budget Travel, our slogan is vacations for real people. We, we try to put great trips within reach of ordinary people. So we pursue affordable, we pursue stylish, that's a bargain. And a big part of that is small town America. We are big fans of road trips, day trips, scenic drives, one tank escapes. And, of course, across America, there are these amazing towns, fewer than 10,000 people, great food, great art and culture, amazing history, great community spirit, beautiful natural landscapes. And so back in 2006, Budget Travel began to celebrate these towns, usually 10 at a time, celebrating the coolest small towns in America. It's now a contest, and as you know, it can rally a community to vote on our website.
Yeah, I guess.
And, We're especially impressed with Grand Marais because it is a very small town. It's of the top ten towns this year. It's by far the smallest population. So amassing 30,000 votes in 5 weeks of voting is quite extraordinary.
So that list of adjectives you went through, I assume that that's most of your criteria of how you define a cool small town.
You know, I do get asked that. How do you define cool? And to me, it's sort of an energetic vibe. It does have to do with community spirit, and often it has to do with a vibrant downtown, an art scene, a food scene. Grand Marais, for instance, you've got the plein air painting, you've got guitar making, incredible businesses and interests of the people who live there. And then, of course, I've known Grand Marais for years for the paddling and for the waters. So yeah, we find some consistency among the towns that make our list for that that blend of history and culture and mm-hmm. food and natural beauty.
So you mentioned that now after 10 years it's a voting process. How does the contest work exactly? Could you explain it? Do towns have to be nominated to be even in the contest, or tell us?
We start a nomination process online in the fall. It's usually in October. We opened up for about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. We solicit online nominations. You can go to our site. We have a special page where you can enter the name of a town, and then you can tell us specifically what you love about it, what you think is cool. We even ask specific questions. Where do you like to stay? Where do you like to eat? What are the activities? And over the course of a month and a half or 2 months, we get 600 or 700 towns mentioned. And you start to notice trends. A few of those towns get hundreds of nominations. Well, once a town is nominated, other people can come there and give it a thumbs up, like on social media. And so the more thumbs up you get, the more we call that the number of nominations that town gets. And a few towns will number in the thousands. They'll get thousands of nominations. A lot of towns will get hundreds of nominations. When we close the nomination process, the editors take a look at all of the towns. We take a look at all the nominations. That's very important. If a town got 3,000 or 4,000 nominations, that tells us it's going to be on our list of semifinalists. There's a certain amount of editorial discretion. We want geographic diversity. We want cultural diversity, and so some towns make the list of semifinalists who perhaps aren't up in the stratosphere of thousands of nominations. But the ones that get the most nominations are always on the list, that's for sure. Discretion plays sort of a moderate role. But we like to have a well-rounded list. And we did this year. We had 15 semifinalists. And then beginning in the last week of January, those semifinalists were up, just went up against each other in online voting. You could visit once a day. And per IP address to prevent robo-voting. Mm. We robo-voting meaning that like a machine could vote, 10,000 times a day for a specific town. We can't have that.
No.
So once per day, an IP address is allowed to vote on budgettravel.com. And so there, the 15 towns went up against one another. And we noticed right away that Grand Marais jumped to near the top of the list. And very early on, it took the number one spot and then never let go.
So, Robert, who or where, I guess, would be a more accurate way to ask it, are some of the past winning towns
in
past
years?
In years,
we had Berlin, Maryland, was the coolest small town, 2014. Berlin, Maryland is on the Maryland shore by the Atlantic Ocean. And they, again, amazing community spirit. We saw an incredible amount of voting, and they even wrote a song. Berlin, Maryland wrote a song called Cool Berlin, a bluegrass song, and put it on YouTube to help get out the vote. The year before that, it was Lititz, Pennsylvania, which is in Pennsylvania Dutch country, Lancaster County. Beautiful, beautiful little town, very historic. The year before that, we had a curious thing. In 2012, voting was so close, the night that our contest was about to end. You know, we ended 11:59 p.m., and in the minutes going up to that final vote, the voting between the two top towns, Hammondsport, New York, and Beaufort, South Carolina, it was so close that it crashed our system. Everything froze, and we had to decide how to resolve it. We decided the fairest way would be to declare a tie. For the first time in the history of the coolest small town contest, we declared a tie. The number one spot went to both those towns.
Okay. Talk a little bit about, besides community spirit, what do all these winning towns have in common and in common with us here?
You know, I mentioned the phrase of vibrant downtown. And, you know, across the country, we're seeing communities struggle with that. We're seeing empty shops in some towns. We're seeing everybody lives on the outskirts, and they even shop on the outskirts at malls. What we see consistently in the cool towns is that they take their history seriously, and they take the sense of communities meeting on the street, and that life in a town means rubbing elbows with people. It means walking. It means places for children to play that are all near the restaurants, near the art galleries, near the parks. So that's something that the phrase vibrant downtown comes to mind over and over again when we try hard not to overuse the phrase, because it is often so true of the towns that get nominated and the towns that win.
Mm-hmm. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Robert Firpo-Capiello. He's the editor-in-chief of Budget Travel. And in case you didn't know, Grand Marais just won their America's Coolest Small Town contest. So wanted to hear from Robert about how this all works and what he thinks about it. So, Robert, do you have any sense of how, I mean, I realize this is a contest and you sort of, I assume that the town holds this title for a year or until the next contest. But how has this designation affected those towns? Do you have any sense of it?
Yeah, it seems to help. You know, we are a travel magazine, and so we write about these small towns from a travel point of view, and what we've found is that the designation of coolest small town in America does help in promoting a town as a tourist destination. And it continues well after the title. You know, we do say, you know, you're the Grand Marais is the coolest small town 2015. We by no means mean that you stop being cool that next year when we name somebody else. In fact, we're busy at work right now to creating a package that will honor the 100 towns that have made our list over the past decade.
Oh, fun.
And I found, you know, Berlin, Maryland, for example, the town that won last year, they were mentioned in several stories that we did on our website and in our magazine. I appear on television and radio regularly, and Berlin, Maryland came up as a place I recommended because I got to know it. They got on my radar by winning our contest. So they also printed up T-shirts and mugs. I actually have a coffee mug on my desk that says Berlin, Maryland, a small town in America. So I think a lot of the towns do see a bump in visitors.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you've been here.
I have not been to Grand Marais. No, I know it well from working in magazines.
I thought you mentioned paddling.
I am. I'm an avid paddler, but I've done it in Montana. I've done it in British Columbia. I've done it in upstate New York. I have not visited Grand Marais. Oh, it's certainly on my list.
I was
and
just going
to
say.
Budget travel readers tell me they can't wait to return.
Definitely has to be on your list. So you mentioned earlier that budget travel is, your slogan is travel for real people or something along those lines.
Yes, that's it.
So could you explain a little bit about what, you know, how budget travel might differ than other kinds of travel? And and what you think makes a great budget travel experience?
Yeah, what we like to do is we want our readers to be the smartest travelers. We want them to be the smartest one on the plane when something, you know, when they're told they're getting bumped from their seat. We want them to know how to negotiate and how to get out of that situation. When they call a hotel to make a reservation, we want them to know the right questions to ask to get the best rate. We regard saving money not as something that makes you cheap. It makes you smart, and you're really doing right by yourself and your family. Because honestly, if you have $1,000 to spend on vacation, we're going to show you how to get more for that $1,000 than you would if you didn't have some of the tools that we give you. So we do like to stress sometimes budget travel doesn't mean cheap. What it means is you're either getting a bargain or you're getting a great value for your money, or you're we sometimes use the expression a stylish steal. You know, you might be staying at a hotel that's a little expensive for you, but we're going to pick the one that's going to be worth that money. We do try to keep every hotel we recommend under $150 a night, preferably under $100, because that gets people's attention. When we tell you can stay in a place like New Orleans for $99 a night, that most people's their ears are ready to hear that. So it has a lot to do with educating people and saying, you know, yes, you can. You want to see Cambodia, you want to see Vietnam, if you want to see South Africa, those places don't have to be off your list. We're going to show you how to do it and to do it within a reasonable budget.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, we have a very popular website, budgettravel.com. We get more than 1 million visits a month. And we put out a bi-monthly tablet edition of our magazine. It's available for iPad, Nook, and Kindle, and we have a version of it that you can look at on our website. You know, you can flip through it on the website.
Okay, no hard copy anymore, though.
At the moment, no. We are not printing. We are very happy to have a very engaged audience online, and. It's fun when you have an audience of people who you know will respond to your stories and will post comments or email about them. It feels like a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit like what we were talking about with the nominations process. We know we can count on budget travelers. When we ask a question online, we can count on them to chime in and share their experiences.
Sure. And plus it lets you be so much more timely than the whole lead time for printing something.
It is very exciting that something happens, you know, something happens that morning, and you can have it on your website later that day. That
right.
Is, yeah, I agree. That's very exciting.
Right. Well, before we let you go, I want to ask you this question. Editing a travel magazine sounds like a fabulous job. What do you like the best about it?
You know, it really is the audience that I was just mentioning. Feeling that I'm having a conversation. We have a newsletter. We have a free e-newsletter that goes out several times a week to many, many hundreds of thousands of loyal budget travel readers. And I feel every day, I feel that part of my job is a continuing conversation with a group of people who I feel that I've come to know. And I have a responsibility to them to deliver, you know, these bargains and the how-to information that can deliver a dream trip to them. But along with the responsibilities, a great sense of fun and playfulness, and that's just a joy to me to know that there are that many people out there waiting to hear what we have to say and to be informed and entertained by us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say I know a great many people around here and who love Graham Murray who have had great fun participating in this contest and are just so thrilled to be the winner.
Oh, that's wonderful! Well, congratulations to everybody. I'm incredibly, incredibly proud to have Grand Marais join this list of coolest small towns.
And I hope you'll come here for your next paddling adventure.
That sounds great.
Oh, my co-host wants to ask something.
Robert, we're having a even as we speak, we're having a town celebration down at a local brewery. You have several hours yet to get here. And I know you know how to travel. He's disappearing.
Where
now,
are you, so. By the way?
I live just outside New York City.
Okay.
A bunch of travel is New York-based, although we actually do have some editors and writers all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like nothing better than to hop in a car that would take me to LaGuardia, hop on a jet, and be there in time to finish your celebration. But I'm gonna have to be there in spirit.
Maybe somebody will send you some pictures.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
We would love that. Yes,
I bet they will.
Have my email. I would love it. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
They'll end up on my website.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Just a big congratulations, and I hope everybody enjoys this moment and enjoys the year. It's as I said, it can really be a nice boost to the travel business of a small town. And I know that Grand Marais is very deserving.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Robert. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It was far north of ordinary, near Artist Point, where she stole my heart. It's a memory that I still carry. The touch of her hand, the brush of her hair, the smile on her face. Could only happen there, where we laughed, where we cried, where we kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. Even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her lips there by the bay. The part of my heart is still in Grand Marais. The waves dance on the water, catch a breeze coming off that lake, skip a stone out over the harbor. I feel the touch of her hand, the brush of her hair, the smile on her face. And I'm back there where we laughed, where we kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. And even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her lips there by the bay. The part of my heart is still in Grand Marais. We kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. And even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her lips there by the bay. A part of my heart, the deepest part, a part of my heart is still in Grand Marais.
That was our wonderful friend Jerry Vandeveer from Nashville who wrote that song about Grand Marais.
Wrote and sang it.
Yes, and he comes up here a couple times a year. Major paddler.
Yeah, big friend of,
songwriter.
Of ours at the station,
yes.
As well as the whole community, really.
Yeah.
He does some playing while he's up here as well. He's been known to bring out the guitar when he's at Sawbill Lodge or further up the trail or wherever he happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
And right here in our studio,
yes,
we have a ball with him.
He's
he
wonderful.
Is fun.
And, he wrote that song about Graham Ray. Pretty mm-hmm. perfect. He has a great way with a phrase.
He does. And that's why he's been so successful as a songwriter down in Nashville. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's really good at writing tunes. So.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for that song.